The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. When you drive your new Kia Sportage, prepare to be noticed. The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. When you drive your new Kia Sportage, prepare to be noticed.
Now, my next guests are both members of the only Cistercian monastery in this country for women. It's St Mary's Abbey in Glencairn in County Waterford, and the community there, they live a life of silence, solitude and prayer, surviving on their own labour and running a number of businesses. It's a life that we really don't often get a glimpse of, so I'm delighted to be joined this morning by Sister Angela Finnegan and Sister Fiacra Nutty. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Now, Sister Angela, I'll start with you first, if that's okay. You only recently joined St Mary's Abbey. How did you first hear about the community?
I first heard about it in an article in the Irish Times, the weekend of the Irish Times, and I sat out on a Saturday.
And what was it that drew you to it? I mean, what provoked your interest?
It was the simplicity of life, the prayer, the sense of stability, you know, with just being in the one place. And I hadn't known before that there was monastic life for women in Ireland, so was curiosity out of that, you know, to see what monastic life was like that drew me initially to come here. But in my own life, I had begun to pray more, and I had been practicing mindfulness, so I'd incorporated that into my life.
Okay. So you were quite religious throughout your life, were you?
No. I mean, I have the same experience as probably as most people. My parents have very strong faith, and I grew up in a household with the Catholic faith, you know, where we attended Mass. But, I mean, like a lot of people, I fell away from my faith as a teenager.
Yeah.
And only recently came back to it.
Okay. So what were you doing? Were you working in Dublin?
No, at the last 3 years before I entered, I was working in Kilkenny.
Right.
In the homeless services there in the Good Shepherd.
Okay. And I know you had been living your life in Dublin. You'd been working, was it in the IT sector?
I worked briefly in the IT sector. My background is in science.
Okay.
So I worked in laboratory work for a number of years, and then I worked a brief time in IT.
Okay.
And that was mostly in Dublin.
Do you mind me asking what age were you when you went into the monastery?
I entered, I was 40.
Okay. And you've been there just over a year now?
Yeah, I entered in January 2013.
Okay. And, because there's a documentary, Would You Believe, on Easter Sunday.
That's right.
And which I got to see. And it's fantastic. It's a brilliant, brilliant watch. And the monastery down there, it's a beautiful setting.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
But, and you said, you like myself, you did a fair bit of travelling. And did that open your mind to different spirituality, to different religions? You just mentioned there mindfulness, which I was interested in.
I suppose my travelling really, I travelled a bit, I lived in Mexico for a little while, and then I travelled into Guatemala, and I suppose what it brought to me really was the simplicity of their life and the fact that they had a much simpler life than I had, and a lot less things, but they seemed happier. And that's really what I got from that. You know, so it was kind of an opening up to realise what brings you happiness.
And did you have a moment or a realisation in your own life that this wasn't for you? Was there one moment, or was it a sort of a build-up over months or years that you really weren't happy and there was a different calling for you?
It was probably more a build-up, you know, of little experiences. But certainly, you know, when I initially started to do mindfulness, or I was doing Vipassana meditation, which is a Buddhist practice, which is mindfulness. It was when I initially started to do that and I developed a kind of a more of a quiet mind. And I suppose then I was able to hear God, if you like, or I developed a kind of quietness in my own mind to be able to connect with God. You know, God was there all along. And I suppose now, when I look back in my life, I can see how God works, is always working in your life, but I wasn't aware of it. It was only when I slowed down myself and I started to do the mindfulness practice that I became aware of that. And you kind of become aware of the truth of things and what brings you happiness and what doesn't.
So when you made the decision to enter the monastery, was that a difficult decision to say, okay, I'm going to leave my friends, my family behind? What was the process?
It is a difficult decision in some ways, but it's done quite slowly. Do you know, you initially make contact with the monastery, and I initially did a monastic experience weekend, which you come just for 2 days. You come on Friday and leave on Sunday, where you take part in the choir, but you'll stay in the guest house, and you'd speak to the vocations director and get some spiritual guidance. So that was the initial contact, and then following that, I came for Easter, for a long weekend, and then following that, I came for a live-in, where I lived in with the community, and all the time. You know,
and how long was that live-in, Angela?
For me, it was an extended live-in, which is unusual, or, you know, people have different paths and different ways of discernment, but I did a longer live-in, so I was here for a month. And by the end of the month, I'd kind of come to the decision that I would come back as a novice. But again, it's just a decision to, you know, I'll take the next step.
Mm. Did you ever find yourself talking yourself out of it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, initially when I had the urge to come here for this, in a way, there was a part of me said, I don't want to go there because I think I'll want to stay. And I knew the implications of that, you know, that I'd, you know, you do think of, well, when am I going to see my family, or what's that going to be like? You know, am I going to be around for, you know, family occasions and things like that? But the longer you're here, the more you see the blessing of being here and how it affects your family in so many positive ways.
Mm. And we'll talk a little bit about day-to-day life in a moment. Sister Fiacra, if I could bring you in here, entered the monastery only 6 years ago, and I know the first few days for you watching the documentary, it was difficult for you, and you gave God an ultimatum.
I did, I'm afraid. It was actually January 2006 I was here on a live-in, and I remember arriving on a Wednesday in the evening time in the dark, and I was here approximately 3 days. I had never prayed so hard nor read so rapidly. And by the end of 3 days, decided this wasn't for me, and I was wasting my time and everybody else's, and I should go. But before I did that, I decided to challenge God, I suppose, and say, if you really want me here, you're going to have to do something about this. So that's really kind of how it developed, yeah.
So what did he do?
Oh, well, the extraordinary thing about it was I kind of issued my ultimatum on a Sunday evening before I went to bed, and I got up the next morning and it just felt like everything had changed, that there was something very deep inside me saying, this is where you were to be, this is where I want you.
And you had, I mean, you were working in a very successful family business. It was a garden centre.
A garden centre, that's
yeah,
right.
Tell me about that.
Well, the garden centre was something that grew out of a sideline that my father was doing originally. He was growing on contract 36,000 rose bushes a year.
Wow, that's a big business.
Which was rather a lot. And as a small child, I can remember walking down between the lines of rose bushes, looking up at the flowers. So that'll give you an idea of what size I was. And from that, little by little, we developed a small wholesale business initially. But essentially, we couldn't keep the good people out. They kept knocking on the door, coming looking for plants. And ultimately, when my brother had finished his degree in business in Trinity College, he joined me and we turned it into a very successful garden centre.
Yeah. And then the business was sold.
Yes. Well, my brother decided he wanted to do other things. And this was not long after we had actually won the Garden Centre of the Year Award for All Ireland. And things were increasingly busy and we were outgrowing all our facilities. And we could see that the next stage that needed doing was a massive investment. And given that my brother wanted to move on to other matters, I just decided I didn't want to take on the whole show. You know, it would have meant A lot of financial commitment as well as time commitment.
Mm. And you have a very, I mean, you've such an affiliation with the land. You live and breathe it, you love it.
Absolutely.
And throughout all the time, I mean, so what a great career and what a beautiful career to be working in.
Yeah.
Did you feel a calling, or were you completely happy? Were you a religious person? Were you a spiritual person all throughout that time?
I would say that I wasn't a particularly religious person, but as Angela said there earlier, I was brought up in a Catholic family and always attended Mass. But I sometimes refer to myself as the automaton Catholic at that point. It was like I was going through the motions of being a Catholic.
Mm.
But when we sold the business, I actually went to England to do a degree in horticulture, which I had postponed because I had originally gone straight from school into the family business. So when we sold the business, I got the opportunity to do the degree and I went to England. And it was really while I was there that my spiritual life came into a completely different dimension.
Why? What was it?
Well, partly I think it was because when I was in England, I was a member of a very small parish, kind of a minority situation, if you like. And sometimes I think in Ireland we suffer from the majority complex rather than the minority one.
Mm.
That when the majority are involved in something, you kind of coast.
Mm.
But when you're in a minority situation, you tend to be more committed.
Mm.
And that's really what happened, you know.
So you came home and you got a job. Was it in Mount Congreve?
Well, no, actually. I had finished my degree in England and seemed to be at an enormous crossroads. I couldn't really decide what to do next. And I actually took a job in a small nursery in a place called Saffron Walden near Cambridge, which is the most beautiful area. And it was really while I was there that this insistent, I can't call it a call, but it was like a drip-drip idea that I couldn't kind of get out of my head that I should try it. So I actually got into discussion with our parish sister, who was the Brigidine sister from Tullow in Carlow, who was the parish sister in England, and it was she who really assisted me with my discernment process. And I went on a monastic experience to a monastery down in Kent. And it was there that I met somebody who knew the novice mistress here. It's a rather involved story, but that's essentially what happened. And that's how I first came to St. Mary's.
And you've been there now, as I said, for 6 years.
Well, nearly eight, actually.
Is it nearly 8 years now?
Yeah, it was 2006 when I entered, in the August of 2006.
Does it feel like 8 years?
Not at all. Not at all. It's amazing how fast it's gone, you know, it really is, yeah.
Well, Sister Angela, I'll bring you back in here because it's so intriguing and so interesting, as I said, because we don't really get a glimpse into the day-to-day sort of life. So bring us through what is day-to-day. I give out about getting up this week at 5:30, but you beat me to it anyway.
Yeah, we're our first prayer is at 4:10 in the morning, so the rising bell goes at 4:10, and we get up for vigil. And we pray 7 times then throughout the day. We have 7 prayer times, divine offices throughout the day, where we all come together in the church to pray.
Wow. How do you get time to do anything else? 7 times?
Yeah, 7 times. Mm-hmm.
And in the morning, that's every morning, and is it always at the same time?
Yeah, the divine offices are always at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we have quiet time in the morning and in the evenings for reading, for spiritual reading,
mm-hmm.
for Lectio Divina. And then during the day time, we work then.
Okay, and what are your jobs within the monastery?
Well, I'm assigned to different areas, just to give me experience in different areas. So I'm in the Eucharistic bread department, cutting the Eucharistic breads. Then I also work in the greeting cards.
Yeah, I was interested
and
looking at that because it's I suppose trying to keep a monastery like that. It's a big place with big grounds. How many sisters are in the monastery?
I think at the moment there's 27 of us.
Okay, so and to finance yourselves, that's what this is. You have to make the greeting cards, the Eucharistic bread.
Yeah.
The farm is a big part of it as well.
That's true, yeah.
So everybody gets involved.
Yeah, we all have, all work assigned to us. And then, of course, there's all the upkeep of, all the work that you would have in any household, washing and cleaning, cooking, all that kind of thing, as well as the regular work.
And so how much, and I hope I'm... Busy life. How much does real life intervene? I mean, are you allowed out? Are your family allowed in to visit you?
You can have visits from your family, yeah. And there's occasions to go out. People can go to, if they need to see the doctor, the dentist, or, people do go out. I wouldn't go out as much, because being a novice, I would tend to stay here more to become accustomed to the life, become rooted here.
Mm.
But my parents and my family can come to visit. And we have a small guest house, so my parents would often come and stay in the guest house.
And can they come every week, or is it every couple of months, or...?
Every 6 weeks. They can come. Mm-hmm.
And so that must be something to look forward to.
It is, yeah. And it's very nice. They're very well looked after. And, I don't really have to do anything except, entertain them, sit and talk to them.
Mm.
Other sisters will get tea for them or biscuits and cake. And they often, they'd meet a lot of the community as well.
And are you the youngest?
Nice for them.
Are you the youngest sister in there, Angela?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No, almost, but not quite.
And when you decided to do this, that this was the life that you wanted to do, were your friends very supportive of it and your family? Did anybody try and talk you out of it?
No one tried to talk me out of it. I don't think so, no.
Because it's such a commitment and it is a wonderful commitment. And the only thing, when I was watching it the other night, I remember I spent 3 weeks in an Ayurvedic retreat in Kerala in India. And we could speak, but it was encouraged. Silence was encouraged, and I didn't utter a word for about 3 days, which is very unusual for me. And I did feel a bit panicked and uncomfortable within those 3 days. But as you were saying, after that, the mind does slow down, the body slowed down, and I had 3 weeks of feeling very peaceful and spiritual within myself. And I was surprised at how quickly it happened. As soon as I went back to the outside world, really, it sort of all picked up again.
I know. Well, there's so much stimulation in the world. There's so much going on that it's very hard for your mind to be quiet. That's why it's such a blessing to be here.
Mm. And Sister Fiacra, how do you find the routine and the silences? I suppose for you being outdoors must be a beautiful gift as well.
Well, I'm outdoors quite a lot because I look after the orchard and the greenhouses. And we have a small area where we grow some fruit and so on. But I'm also now facilitating the sales section of the Eucharist Bread Department, so I actually spend quite a lot of time involved there as well. Mm. The thing is, I suppose, that our day is, to some minds, very regimented, because we have our seven times of prayer, and then we have two work periods in both morning and afternoon scheduled in between. But I think probably the greatest blessing that I enjoy here is because we get up so early in the morning before all else happens, that we have this time for prayer and for reading. It's what we call Lectio Divina time. And normally I would be sitting down to that at 6:15, and that will continue until 7:45. Mm. And really, that's the most precious time of the day.
Mm.
The house is really quiet. And there's much more, because my mind isn't racing or thinking about the things I have to deal with today, it just gives me that peace, that time with God,
And I know this is a particularly special time for you, it being Easter.
Yes, it is. And today is very, very special. In fact, it feels a bit odd to be talking at all because normally
really?
Good Friday is a very silent day. But, there's a very special, special atmosphere about it. And every year that I'm here, I feel that my faith is deepening and growing and getting closer to God,
Well, I won't keep you on for too much longer, but I'd love to ask you both, would you recommend this life to people who are searching and why, I suppose?
Well, I'd recommend to visit here, this life isn't for everybody, and it is a calling, I suppose, but the experience of being here and being in the peace and quiet, of experiencing the prayer life, is beneficial to everybody, and certainly is strengthening to your faith.
Mm-hmm.
I would think so.
All right, well, sister
Fiacra,
what would you say on that just before we let you go?
I think the thing is that my message to anybody would just be open to where God leads you.
Mm.
You know, and if it is, if you have any ideas about monastic life, just try it.
Mm.
You know, that's all. Just give God a chance, you know. Because I didn't for so long, and in some ways regret that, you know, that not to have responded earlier. But, you know, just try it.
All right. Well, it's been lovely talking to you, Sister Angela Finnegan and Sister Fiacra Nutty. We can watch the Would You Believe programme on St Mary's Cistercian Abbey in Glencairn, County Waterford. It's on RTE1 on Easter Sunday at 10:35, and it's called The School of Love. Back after this.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.